After Silent Night, the choir sang, O Little Town of Bethlehem, and my eyes left the audience, and I looked at the little pine tree stuck in the tub of dirt, decorated with strips of red and green crepe paper, and bits of lint cotton, and streamers of tinsel, and a little white cardboard star on its highest branch. And under the tree and propped against the tub was one lone gift, wrapped in red paper and tied with a green ribbon and with a red and green bow. The children had contributed nickels, dimes, quarters, money they had made from picking pecans, and Irene Odessa and Odell James had gone to Baton Rouge and bought a wool sweater and a pair of wool socks. The people sitting up front could see the package, and they knew who it was for, and at times I could see their eyes shifting from the choir toward the tree, and I could see the change in their expressions. But Jingle Bells, a gayer and livelier song than the previous two, brought everyone's attention back to the choir, and I could catch in people's faces relief from their thoughts. Odessa Freeman's "'Twas the Night Before Christmas" followed, and it was more than a simple recitation. It was a dramatic performance. In her long white dress with long sleeves, and with her black hair, recently straightened and shining, combed back and tied with a white silk ribbon, and her body swaying, and her arms spread out one moment, then closed so that the palms of her hands came together, and her voice rising to fill the church, then falling to a whisper that you could barely hear. Odessa not only made you see the room where the stockings were hung, but enabled you to hear the reindeer on the roof and hear Santa before you saw him come down the chimney to fill the stockings. You heard him call the name of each reindeer after ascending the chimney, and you actually watched the reindeer going to the next house in the quarter. It was so real that Boak felt it too and pointed again, and Miss Rita nodded that she understood his feeling, and she drew back the hand and placed it on his knee and kept her own hand on his to comfort him. Following the poem came an essay, The Little Pine Tree, written and read by Albert H. Martin III. He told of all the other Christmas trees over the years, of oak, of cypress, of strange bushes that could not be named. He told of how the trees had been cut in the pasture and dragged back to the quarter, and how the girls had washed the leaves to make the tree presentable. Then he came to the little pine tree. Not a great tree. It was not tall, not blessed with great limbs, but it was pine, and it was the most beautiful of all the Christmas trees. The little pine tree even took on a character of its own. It was so happy to be here. While he spoke, Albert Martin III gestured toward the tree, and everybody looked at the tree and at the single gift underneath it. Hark, the herald angels sing came next and led into the nativity scene. As the song ended, two shepherds in their croaker sack robes came on stage behind the choir. The shepherds were attending their flock when suddenly a light appeared on the back wall under the pictures of Christ and Reverend Ambrose. The light came from a flashlight held by a student from stage right. Shepherd 1, pointing, a star in the east. Shepherd 2, and so bright. Shepherd 1, what does it mean? Shepherd 2, wish I knowed. Shepherd 1 looked at Shepherd 2 as if he were about to correct his grammar, but changed his mind. No one in the audience seemed to have noticed. Three wise men entered from stage right, dressed in red, green, and yellow robes of crepe paper. Several people in the audience snickered and made comments. Shepherd 1, wise men, they can tell us. Shepherd 2, tell us, O wise men, what yon star mean? Wise man 1, it shines down on Bethlehem. Wise man 2, little town of Bethlehem. Wise man 3, we must go to Bethlehem.